woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. I'll wait for you all to get all of that. My wife told me there were two words for the word palate. There's actually three, and they have four different meanings. And worst of all, now, by the way, I did not travel to Oxford or Cambridge to go into the research of this, but from the little bit, 5 minutes on, you know, looking up dictionaries, all three words probably come from the same word. Palate is wrong in the notes. That bothered my wife, of course, who knows grammar and all that stuff. Let's pray. We'll get started. Father, I ask your blessings on this time. May this be a profitable morning in Christ's name. Last week, we started talking about some basic ideas. We'll get into those in a minute. By the way, anybody want to know this? I talked about a palate cleanser. What's a palate cleanser? From last week, what's a palate cleanser?
Refreshes your mouth.
Refreshes you. Why? Because sometimes you just got to step back and say, something's got to clear my head here. I keep spinning. Look at me. I keep spinning in the same place. Means I got to step back, and either you're in a perfume mania place and you got to smell coffee beans to clear out the palate, or you got to, when you're doing sushi, what is it? Ginger. Ginger clears the palate. Do you understand? Otherwise, have you ever noticed there's people 20 years later, they're in exactly where they were 20 years before, zero growth, because they're messed up. They can't taste properly. Last week, I started talking, and I'm not going to go into the notes. By the way, you got from last week, I'm going to borrow these just to make sure I don't skip too much. We started talking, we did deal with the concept of a palate cleanser. For me, the palate cleanser is this. Look at me. I don't care the discussion. We just sang a song, Tim. Did you like the song? How many of you like that song? Do you realize where I went to Bible college, that song was verboten? Anybody know why? Oh, excuse me, verboten, forbidden. Why? Universal Church. Universal Church. There's only the local church, of which Jackie Boy was the president, and he dominated. And by the way, folks, heresy floats all directions. Wow. That's a long time ago, but I remember that song being hated. And I'm like, that song kind of connects you with Christianity through the ages. And it's bigger than you. Wow. A palate cleanser. In your notes, we'll just pick up there, then I'm going to talk about trans just for a minute. Romans 3:3 is the palate cleanser for me. Paul asked this question. And by the way, I didn't write on here, did I, what all this stuff is. A palate is, you know, thing that holds wood. It is also the spelling if you want to make a pallet in the floor for your child to sleep on. That's the other use. This is what an artist uses. You know, an artist palette. I think they're all from the same Middle English, French background. And then a palette is, you know, sense of taste, roof of your mouth, that sort of thing. Okay? Those are the three words, if you're interested. And the one in your notes is incorrect. I didn't throw the notes out. I figured you couldn't spell it. I said last week, a palate cleanser is this, verse 4. Paul says, God forbid in the King James. Meganoita, may it never be. Then he gives the thing that cleanses the palate. Let God be true. But who?
Every man.
No. Every man, including you? Seriously? When's the last time you stuck your hand up and said I was wrong about anything? the palate cleanser stops us and says, we can't keep going down that road. We cannot. I said last week, just the way I analyze the text, there's first of all a recognition that God is true, or God is the truth. I would assume any Christian starts there. But the problem is, would you look at me? People start getting themselves and God confused. Do you all know that? Most people think whatever I say is what God says. They couldn't distinguish the reality. That's the reason we need the palate cleanser. Here's where we stand. We got to back up and just kind of recognize, God is true. Well, the second one is an admission, which is,
I'm not God.
I'm not God. I'm not the truth. Can you say that? I asked you, can you say that? I am not God. And I am not the truth. By the way, that'll clear your palate immediately. Other than that, for the rest of your life, the dumbest opinions of people, they'll hold on to the bloody end. Brilliant book written in the 1960s. It's a book on the philosophy of science by a guy named Kuhn, K-U-H-N. My guess that name is Jewish. Thomas Kuhn wrote a book, The Structures of Scientific Revolutions. The book is one of the great books on intellectual. He invented the concept of a paradigm shift. He said, what happens when new information comes out? Do people simply say, oh, I was wrong? He says, scientists hold on to their opinions until they die off. Scientist. Well, if a scientist does, what about you? There's got to be an admission. God is true. I'm not God. And then the submission side. Let God be true and every man a liar, including myself. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, folks. I'm talking about what I do. Do you realize I live in ideas? What if you're wrong about something? Is it possible to ever be wrong, truly? Well, I haven't met many people that ever admitted it. That's a strange kind of thing. Well, I started this out, just take a couple minutes. Yes, that book is called Lost in Translation. That's the name of it. But by the way, don't be deceived by the title, because it is a book. It's not 10-page, got all the answers. She's a lady that, I don't know her age. Srijit, you've seen her interviewed. 70s probably, would you say today? She is a psychiatrist, highly educated, Jewish, smart. No fundamentalist, folks. No conservative. She's an actual scientist that studied, all of this kind of behavior back in the day. This is what I remember what she said. She said, what you used to find when it came to people transgender, so to speak, gender dysphoria, is you had somewhere between age 3 and about 4, you would find like 1 in a million kids that are just kind of messed up right up front. By the way, do you ever do A&P, anatomy and physiology? You ever do any science? It's every place you look, there's always going to be weird outliers. Asexual, both sexes. I mean, doesn't happen often. You know what one of the problems, you remember in the Olympics we had the boxer that won, but he tested as a male, but he presented as a female. He wasn't faking it. See, that's the part. People aren't smart enough to know he wasn't faking anything. He was one of those 1 in 10 million or 100 million that just, that's about 100 million or so. It's really rare. They're just weird. That's factual stuff, by the way, folks. That's not maybe stuff. She said, you would find this, I'm going to use Pastor Warren's language. Now I'm speaking country. Does everybody know the expression rare as hen's teeth? PDD. And you know what a hen is? It's a chicken. How many teeth does a chicken have? None. It's rare as hen's teeth. She said you would find this once in a while, and if anybody read the book, Then somewhere, 50s, late 40s, 50s, six, sometimes 60s, you would again have a real rare occurrence. I don't know if 2012 was the year smartphones came out. Is that correct? I think that's correct.
No.
It's when it became the dominant.
It was like 08 or 09.
The dominant, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's when, you know, otherwise you quit using.
Majority of U.S. households had a smartphone.
You quit using your flip phone. By the way, it took me a long time to quit my flip phone, folks. I just want you to know I am cutting edge. Josh Kerr, you can tell him if you see him. He is the cause of me quitting the flip phone. Because I didn't want to talk on the phone while driving. So I got it hooked up to my Bluetooth in my old car. But that old flip phone, the system wasn't real good. So if I was talking to somebody, it would go through the speakers. Josh, if somebody texted me, it would turn my phone off if I was talking in the car. I mean, it was all of a sudden the phone just turned off. I'm like, then you have to turn it on, get it back, get it started again. I got back in the car, he texted me again. That was it. I was done with the dumb phone. It's like, come on. Now, folks, I like a smartphone. Things changed. Nobody, I don't even know how to emphasize, no human ever dreamed that all of, and this is what she says, all of a sudden, we have this massive, massive group. I'm going to be specific, young girls primarily, all in the same classes. Young girls, all in the same classes. By the way, do you think they lived in Afghanistan? Ade, you think they lived in Cameroon? Where'd they live? America and places like America. Why? Because they have a flip, they have a smartphone, they don't have a life, Junior. I complimented, you can ask your dad last night, did I not compliment him for working? By the way, they don't do anything. They sit around and look at themselves in the phone all day. They don't work. They don't even know the concept of work. They have no life. And she said, all of a sudden, instead of rare as hen's teeth on both ends, this here was usually males. They kind of, can I say this kindly? Bruce Jenner? Or whatever his, what's his name used to be?
It used to be Bruce Jenner. It's now Caitlyn.
Okay, whatever. Can I be honest? Actually, what she was saying is he's the case. I'm still not sure he knows exactly what he is. And now he's getting old. But my point is, that's what you would see. She said you would see right almost from birth a kid that was just messed up. Once 100 million or something. You'd find a very small group of males, 40s, 50s, and 60s, kind of got lost in life. And all of a sudden, those weren't important. It was this group. By the way, what do we call that? That's a social what? It's a social, yes, but it's a social, how is it?
Contagion.
Social contagion. It's like a disease, like measles. By the way, if we're unvaccinated in this room, I'm not a Trumper. Has everybody figured that out? And I am less of a Kennedy than probably just about anybody in this room outside of Sergeant. Kennedy, do you not know that all the anti-vaccine stuff that churches around here held to came from the left? Do you not know this? Kennedy was the center of the stupidity. Why Trump picked him? Let me just say it this way. We're all unvaccinated. Somebody comes in with measles. I have a question. Somebody walks in with measles. How many of us get measles? Probably all of us. It's like a 95 to 90. You know this? Measles highly contagious. The question is, how long have humans been around? Long time? Why all of a sudden do we have this massive group of young girls thinking they're a boy? And a small group of boys thinking social contagion spread through. We'll go on. All right. By the way,
they were just suppressed before.
I don't want you to listen to Rhonda right now. Please look at me. No yow buts. Look me in the eyes. Here's your problem. What's going to happen in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? Nobody knows. You cannot predict. And looking at yourself in your cell phone won't help you discern. Simply stated. So, ideas. We all have to start with God is true. I'm not God. I'm going to let God be God. God be the truth. If all of us in this room are wrong, is that fair? Cleanses the palate. You got to step back. And if you don't do it, you just stay spinning in your little circle. And nothing funny about spinning in your circle for a long period of time. Well, last week we started with the double nickel. The double nickel was not a trick. Nickels have two sides, correct? All right, let's start on the next page. First nickel. We started with this, and then Dave got mad because I didn't continue. That's all right. The double nickel, the first nickel, side A, is simply this. And by the way, when I say this, look at me. Louie wasn't here, so this is new for Louie. Some of you weren't here. There is nothing about you. Pastor Warren didn't write this for you. I would assume the better your education is, the more hesitant you would have to have universal opinions, knowing things you don't know. I would just assume that, but I don't always find that true. Doctors can be as boneheaded. Scientists can be boneheaded. People can be boneheaded, folks. They can. Srijit, you're in the medical field. I know you have been very disappointed to see a lot of non-scientific ideas, correct, promoted. Why? Most of us are social. We're going to get to that. First desire. And I don't know if this is the first one. I could do the other nickel first. This is just my organization. The first nickel, side A, is the desire to be right. So, if you would do this for me, you don't have to. By the way, you can pretend this doesn't impact you. This is just for other people. But the desire to be right do you think that is true? Yeah. Now, I'm going to be cruel, but I'm going to be cruel, but not towards anybody. There are people that will act like they don't have an opinion. They still have the same desire. They just don't want to be shamed in public. So they won't out with it. Some people are out, by the way, everybody in this room, unless you've been sleeping, knows people. You say, you, Pastor Warren, yes, I'm a very opinionated person about things I know. What you don't know is anything I don't know, I don't talk about. You haven't figured that out yet, have you? Because arrogance points both directions. Better go back to the palate cleanser quickly, or you are the truth. Everybody has a desire to be right. So the person, oh no, I don't know, they have an opinion, they just don't want to put it out there so they get their head knocked off. What do the Japanese say? I wish I could remember the exact expression. But it's something like, when a nail sticks up. So they want that nail to be down so it doesn't stick up above the crowd. By the way, that's fine, but you still, the person that never says anything about anything, you still have opinion. You have a desire to be right. How does this help you? Well, now you know. You have a desire to be right like everybody else. Everybody has that desire. You say, Pastor, you have a lot of opinions. When's the last time I've given you my opinion on the politics of the Philippines? I'd like to be interested in know. When's the last time I've given you my opinion on the governorship of Virginia? I don't know anything about those things, so I don't discuss them. I've already confessed. By the way, if you want to write something that will help you, write your initials by that. Because it's you. It's you. We all have that desire to be right. Hopefully, through a process, you're a little slower to get to your opinion. That would be helpful. By the way, I don't need any yow buts. Whether under your breath or out of your mouth, We don't need that. We just need to admit we like to be right. We all do. I say in your notes, obviously this can grow to the desire to be, what do I say here? Righteous or self-righteous, of course. Or more righteous, or more righteous. Those are all saying the same thing. I mean, that's just part of who we are. I'm right. I know everything. By the way, folks, are there not anything you don't know? By the way, Dunning-Kruger effect, what does it teach? Dunning-Kruger effect teaches something. I'll have it in the notes in the next few weeks. It's a game changer because, actually, it's psychological research that just states the obvious. People who know the least think they know the most. Listen to people talk. And you're like, why do you have an opinion on everything? By the way, and people who know the most tend to be a lot more hesitant about things, especially about things they're not aware of or don't know. That's a brief summary of the Dunning-Kruger effect. Number two, the first nickel side B. This gets even worse. What comes with the desire to be right, everybody? Everybody look, what comes with the desire to be right? Are we okay?
You never apologize.
Are we okay? Rhonda, your father's walking out. I don't know what that means. You need to go with him or I can't let him walk out by himself. Yeah, but we still need to find out.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, thank you. What's the desire to be right? All right, I got to be specific because everybody's lost in transition. Have you ever been wrong before, Nicole?
I'm wrong a lot. You should ask Dave that question.
I didn't know the answer to that question. Wow. What comes with that desire? The other side. The desire to win. You know, most marital problems, folks, people say marital problems are communication. They're not communication. You're communicating fine. You're yelling, screaming, pulling hair, but the problem is you can't sit back, cleanse the palate, and say, I may or may not be right about this. Number two, do I have to win? What do I win? Now, you don't have to like this. I'm reasonably intelligent, and I am very overbearing. I can win. Look at me, everybody. I can win every argument with my wife. See, you don't believe me. See, I read people. You do know that. By the way, I can win every argument with my wife. What do I win?
Algebra.
Nothing. Didn't you ever grow up in life? You say, well, I don't have that. Oh, come on. You listen to yourself talk. Most of us like to win. Sometimes it's like, fact is, we like to win so much, we'll burn the whole place down in order to win. When you find a lot of marriages, one, look at me, you get two people invested enough in their ego, they'll burn it and send it to hell. I recognize people. I think some of you think I'm dumb. It's the desire to win. It's an ugly thing. It's the flip side of the same nickel. So let me just say this. Atong, of course, is a perfect husband. Jenny Lynn, go ahead and say amen. Thank you.
Why are you?
By the way, when everybody gets married, I'm sure Jenny Lynn, because she's sweet, when everybody gets married, both of them think they're right. But at first, you're so in love. Nothing bothers you. You boy, you're going to get me in trouble. Hopefully somewhere down the line you grow up and realize what we're fighting about. By the way, can I say this to you? Can I be honest with you? If you like your creamer in one side of the refrigerator or the other side. By the way, you do know what couple. Have you ever listened to people fight and argue? They're fighting, aren't you? You're like, really? You had a fight about where the creamer is? I gave up this a long time ago. Whatever my wife likes in her world is her world. don't care about any of that stuff. Now, please don't interfere with my books, my reading, my thinking, and all that, but anything, I don't care. You say, well, she has the wrong colors on your bed. Number one, I don't know the colors. And number two, I don't care. She put them on there, I'm happy. There are males that fight about this stuff. Now, some can be fights, can be fun. You know, in my broad family, Christmas time, I always loved it because they all worked at the same place. So they're all going to complain about the same people. Laclede Steel. They all worked at Laclede Steel. My dad, my grandpa, seven of the eight brothers, one of the brother-in-laws, the older cousins, everybody worked there. And they were always going to argue over was a Ford truck better than a Dodge. Have you ever heard those kind of intelligent arguments? And you're like, oh. All right. Now we come into your world. Do you know who you are this morning? Your world. As a young pastor, I would say I believe this to somewhere here. 2 years as an assistant, 8 years in St. Louis. Somewhere after I got here in the first 10 years, I've kind of gotten over this. I say I believe deeply that if a person did wrong, messed up, made a bad decision, sooner or later, you can put whatever words you want. This is what I thought. Somebody messed up, obviously messed up. I thought sooner or later, I'm going to get an apology. Now, it might be too late to change things. You understand? Sometimes 5 years later, it's too late. Pull their kid out of school, any number of things. I am 68 years old. I have been told by people in church, one, look at me, and one half times that they were wrong. Thank you, by the way, both of you, Rhonda thank you. Can't let somebody wander off. By the way, I got a question. Joseph, why I as a pastor have only heard one and a half times somebody was wrong in nearly 40 years? People not wrong?
Right. They don't admit they're wrong. A lot of times they don't see they're wrong. Or they excuse it as somebody else's fault, actually.
No matter what the results are. Did you hear me? No matter what the results are. And I'm not thinking about anybody particular, but I will think about one person. Is it in here? No, I don't think it's here. I asked this question in your notes. By the way, one and a half. I have told you before, and the half changed his mind. Did you hear me? That's the person that was here that came up to me after a church service and asked me an intelligent question. And by the way, I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to do deep theology. He said, would it be a good idea if I go to Amman Jordan for a job? Because they're going to pay me three times the salary I make here tax-free. What's my first question to him?
What's your family?
Close. What church are you going to in Amman Jordan for the next 3 years? Secondly, what do they require of your wife in Amman Jordan? He backed off for a week. He moved there. Lost his wife, long divorce. Maybe been through two or three of those since then. By the way, money dictated his whole life. He's a smart guy. He's as smart as anybody. He's made more money than anybody in this room. My goodness, he was making more money than I could imagine. Amman Jordan, did you have to pray about that? Where are you going to marry? Where are you going to move to next? Hell? But there's a good job right outside the gate of hell. Really? All right. By the way, I've rarely ever had some, but one guy, Bob Darrington, he's with the Lord, did tell me he had messed up. Now, he didn't change anything, but he did tell me he was wrong. One guy. Now, I asked the question, why did I believe that as a young pastor? Well, the reason is in the verses. I thought people learned to forgive. And the very process, by the way, Matthew 6:12 says, and forgive us our debts, trespasses, sins, any of those work. So it's kind of assuming what? If you're praying as a pattern of prayer on a daily basis, asking the Lord for forgiveness, that means you are admitting you are wrong. I assume basic Christianity admitted they were wrong. Now it's some kind of deep stuff, basic. So that's how I grew up. I still believe it, but I have to do something. You talked about Francis Schaeffer. I think it was you talking about Francis Schaeffer indirectly. He talked about the split between, you have to make the leap between this world, you know, in the realm of ideas. I have to live in two worlds. I have to know the truth and just be satisfied with people that are never wrong, have never confessed to God they're wrong. I don't get it. I would think on a daily basis, do you ever look back and think, wish I'd have done this, wish I'd have done that, wish I hadn't have done this? Isn't that, I'm asking you, isn't that part of your basic Christianity? First John. If we say that we have no sin, that's talking about as nature, I believe, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. On the other hand, if we, and by the way, we means Christians, not talking about getting saved, talking about a relationship with the Lord. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him what? By the way, two big ones. We deceive ourselves and we make God a liar. Neither one are good. Yes, I believe this deeply. Years ago, Tim might know who this is, and that's okay. I go to Emily's. But I don't know if it's still called Emily's. Not the one, which direction am I?
I'm not sure.
Not the one over here, the one over on Green Bay and Sunset or someplace.
It's not called Emily's. I'm not sure what the name of it.
Who?
Carmen.
Okay, Carmen now. I went there. A guy's having problems with his children, somebody in this church. He wanted to talk. We talked somewhere between 2 and 3 hours. By the way, the man was a smart man, smart as anybody in this room, advanced degrees, very good skill set in what he did, very good. So I talked to him. Can I say this? I talked to him recently. I said, all right. I do not remember how many children he had. I'll say 4. I don't remember. We'll just do A, B, C, and D. All 4 of his children were basically failing everything. I said, all right, well, let's step back. Is this how you think about life? I said, well, what can impact? Well, one thing that can impact are the teachers. Can teachers have an impact, yes or no?
Yes.
All right, but you've got a problem when you have 4 kids. What's your problem? How is that concept eliminated? All different teachers, so it can't be the teachers. Now, you could have a mean teacher like Jen Rush. Very mean. I'm joking. I understand. Maybe your child didn't click with a teacher, but you have 4 kids failing, so it isn't the teacher. I said, well, then you can go to the second concept, if I can spell this right. Curriculum. You know, the curriculum plural. Well, we use pretty much traditional stuff that's used in most conservative Christian schools, Bob Jones stuff, etc. It's been around a long time. It's good stuff. It's not the curriculum.
And it would affect the other kids in the class, not just his.
Yes, but ain't nobody listening to what you just said. It's always something. All right? So then it's like, what do you got left? You only really got 2 pieces left. You got the child themselves. And you got this. Are you all listening? So if your children are having problems, forget Lake County. You're going to public school. They're all having problems. You only got the teachers, the curricula, the child themselves, and the home life. Now, all 4 children were failing. My evaluation of the children, which I'm usually pretty accurate in this, any teacher that's been teaching for a while, you kind of figure out who's smart and who's not. Like the lady that came in here and told me, my son is so smart, he's going to be bored in K-5. Wow, was she clueless about her son. He was so far behind in the world, he was the worst student in that class. By the way, Jen Rush, you teach K-5, correct? I always forget. I know you teach little ones. A bad one next year. Can I say something? She knows who smart kids are this way. Carly, there was a little girl in your, not a little, she's not tiny, lovely young lady, African-American young lady. Good at math, correct? How'd you figure that out? Did you pray about it? Did you pull out a magic wand? Pretty quickly, you know the IQ of kids. Yes? By the way, most people's IQ is average. Four kids. Weird part was the dad was smart, very smart. He couldn't have done what he did without being intelligent. You say, where are you going with this? Well, the problem was one thing. I'm going to give it to you in Greek. Are you ready? Kids went to bed whenever they wanted to go to bed. Hello? I mean, it was the worst chaotic mess I've ever seen. And by the way, now, 2 or 3 hours of conversation, I'm very logically, systematically working through. I've eliminated the teachers. I've eliminated this. The children, I leave as a question mark. I don't think they were brilliant. But you know what the problem is? If a child has chaos at home, it's hard to even know because they have no discipline to figure it out. His answer? Homeschool. All right, now let's get down to serious bones here. Why did he decide to homeschool? Yes, and? No conflict with the problem, his wife. So I'd go down and get gas right down over here on Sheridan. I get gas there a lot. I get gas there after class, 10:30 or 11 in the morning while the mother was homeschooling. There was the van pulled in, kids eating fast food, drinking massive, little kids, massive sodas. I'm like, where's the homeschooling happening? Oh, they moved. We can't even find out where they're at now. By the way, you say you're mad? No, I just tell you this. If you don't get a hold of the Bible, this is going to be your lot in life for the rest of your life. You have to get the thing that cleanses the palate and then remember two things. We like to be right, and we like to win. Even when we win nothing. You know what my question is, Amy, now about those kids? How are they doing now, 15 years later? There's no hiding it. You know what my guess is? They blame it on the school. Second nickel. You guys ready for the second nickel? Now, this is more obvious. It's true of all people, but it's more obvious of some than others. Got me? The second nickel, side A, is this, the desire to feel good about self. Everybody wants to feel good about, look at me. It's a universal drive. So if whatever you're discussing, start with the first nickel. I want to be right, and I want to what? Win. The second nickel, I want to feel good about myself. Anybody in this room doesn't like to feel good about themselves? By the way, I know in this room can reason, think. You know, by the way, much of this, it's not about how smart you are. There's academic processes that people learn. Any kind of higher education, you start having to learn to work a process. The problem is when it gets in close and personal, sometimes it's hard to do that. You know, if somebody came in and the lady had a urinary tract infection, that's called a UTI, my first thought, the laboratory wasn't cancer. Why? Escherichia coli, probably. Hello? You're saying who, what, where? By the way, logical processes. You might get around to cancer down the road if nothing else is working and there's other symptoms. Folks, there's processes. Reading the Bible. So drop all of this poor, pitiful crap. Reading the Bible will learn you, will teach you indirectly, and that process will start to come into your world because you have to start thinking. Everybody wants to feel good about self. I say in your notes, this isn't about guilt or feeling guilty. This is definitely not about shame or hiyah for all of you that know the term. This is about reality. We all like to feel good. Here's the reality of who... I have the reality of who we are is below. We are all sinners. Does everybody agree that you're a sinner? Look at me. So if you're a sinner, look at me. Do you know by deduction that means you're not always right? Do you start to understand? Once you start thinking biblically, it just starts impacting everything. You don't always have to win, because you already know that occasionally I can be wrong. Maybe more than occasionally. Mm-hmm. Seems to be straightforward. We are sinners, all of us. We are also limited. I've had to learn this the hard way. When you're around redneck fundamentalism, the pastors know everything about things they know nothing about. They talk about Greek text. By the way, if you've ever heard of the Textus Receptus, I can already promise you, you have no idea what that means, because the man that talked to you about it didn't know what it meant. He says, we believe in the Textus Receptus. From where the King James Bible comes from, there's only one problem. The Textus Receptus is a conglomeration of Greek text put together in, are you ready? 1633. When was the King James translated? Oh, that was the Stephanus text of 1550. But ignorance runs the show. By the way, don't know what you don't know. Just get it. We're all sinners. We're limited. Can I say this? Never have an opinion about a Greek or Hebrew text, because you don't know anything about it. Just don't have those opinions. Next, we are not God. I hope we know that. And next, I hope we can and do make mistakes. Let's get to the next one, and we'll finish up with this, and we'll pick up next week on other ideas. The second nickel. Because Dave is going to stroke out if I don't get to this one. Now, I want everyone to look at me. Everything I'm sharing with you is so obvious that to walk away and not get it, everybody, regardless of who you are, wants to be right. Number two, now, some of us, you say you're a big loudmouth, oh, I'm all those things, but I don't have to win all the time, in case you don't know. That doesn't drive my engine. I know people that do. We've had them here before. We had a Spanish pastor here that had to win, playing volleyball against women. I'm being ugly. I don't get that kind of stuff. I don't have to win, but I like to be right. I like to win most of the time. The desire, look at me, to feel good about yourself. And what's the flip side? If you want to feel good about yourself, what's the opposite side?
You want to look good to others.
You want to look good to other people. Yes. That's part of being human, folks. If you would be as kind, turn your Bibles to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 27. We're going to be done here. We'll come back to this next week. Does everybody get the two nickels, yes or no? The desire to win, the other side is, either side, the desire to be right, the desire to win. Secondly, the desire to feel good about yourself and the desire to look good to others. That drives all of us. There are no exceptions to that. Proverbs 17, 27, everybody knows it. It's a helpful verse. I want to say this. I watch clips of this guy occasionally. He is a pagan. He is the opposite of everything I am. Bill Maher, comedian, filthy guy. He went and visited Trump. Now, Bill Maher is a left-wing Democrat. Well, he's not a left-wing. He is a Democrat, not loony bin. He's the old-fashioned kind of, freedom of speech and stuff. You know what he said? I mean, I would recommend you dig the clip up and watch it. He gives about 10 minutes of his spending a meal with Trump, and he was like, he's not who I thought he was. I'm not defending Trump. My point is, we have too many opinions. 1727, which then makes us look bad, which then goes a lot of bad places. He that hath knowledge does what?
Spareth his
words. Friends, Donald Trump makes a lot of talky stuff. I don't read Donald Trump. I'm not on Instagram. What's all these things? I'm not on anything except Facebook, and I'm barely on Facebook. And if you send me a friend request, I'm going to answer your friend request like I do everybody else's. I ain't your friend. Thank you. You say, I just don't do all that social stuff where people hate on each other. I don't need that. He that hath knowledge spares his words. By the way, a good way of looking good in public is to be quiet. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. By the way, sometimes just being silent. Yes, that's quite nice. All right, I've got through a little bit of this. My goodness, this takes time. So, everyone look at me. Do you know yourself? So, we have all kinds of personalities here. We have gentle souls, we have loud souls, we have Louis Hedas, which fits the whole category. That's the Louis Hedas category. You got me? By the way, everybody likes to be right. Everybody likes to win. Everybody likes to feel good about themselves. And number four, everybody likes to look good in front of others. Can I say this? You realize that's the reason you have conflict. What will help you? What?
Cleanse the palate.
Step back. Take a breather. By the way, we're going to stand for truth in this church. That's not the question. But here's my problem. Two things in my adult ministry. COVID and what? Trans what? I'm not uneducated. And then it went LGBTQ. Poo, 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 poo. How about this? Hollywood people come out as queer. When I was a kid, queer was not a good word. Now it's a good word because why? It kind of doesn't mean anything. And you can be cool and you can get your virtue signaling down and you can tell all the people you're down with them while you still live the way you've always lived. Welcome to the Dog and Pony Show. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time in Christ's name. Junior, good to see you, buddy. I'm